We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dale Arnold.
I'm not gonna put everybody else on this, but the question is, everybody else gonna do the same?
Look, do you want to hoop or not? I don't hear none of the other contenders complain.
Rich Keefe.
Will Patrick Mahomes be the greatest quarterback that ever played?
I think so.
You out your mind?
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Football is not that difficult.
This bleep calculus.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI, broadcasting live from our Shaw's and Star Market studios in Brighton and in Bellingham. I'm talking about Cam Newton, and the hype train really kicked into high gear yesterday with the official release of the signing from the Patriots. They're always about a week behind everybody else, aren't they? It's like Belichick says, we'll put it out when I damn well want
to. They got to cross all the T's, I guess, because they take their time. We know about it, you know, weeks beforehand. But
I mean, Cam Newton told us about it.
Cam Newton told us about it. He's working out with Sanu. It was all over everywhere, but it finally happened. I guess it's, you know, different times now. They finally got a chance to see him in person and all that stuff. So it's official, finally.
It's official. The Patriots have a guy who, by anybody's account, if healthy, is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, isn't he?
Top 10's tough. I mean, I would say we did this exercise on last Friday, Dale, when right. You were out with Andy Hart and Shime, and I think I had him 12 somewhere in there. I mean, there's a lot of pretty good quarterbacks in the league. I think he can play up to that level. But yeah, I mean, he's certainly in the top half. There's no debate there.
So Rob Ninkovich was on GetUp, former New England Patriots defensive star and friend of the show. Rob Ninkovich was on GetUp, and he was talking about who's going to have a better rest of his career. And I stress that because pronouns get in the way here, but this is what Ninkovich said.
I'd take him because of the upside that he has. Last year, 22 years old, the league MVP, leading the NFL in yards per carry, leading the NFL in touchdown passes. Look, he didn't throw the ball that much from the pocket. Imagine if he gets better from the pocket with accuracy, throwing the ball down the field, and understanding when to get out of bounds and when not to take some unnecessary shots. The one thing we can all agree on, number one, he's a playmaker, and he's going to make everyone around him better. When you play the Ravens, you say, how do we stop Lamar Jackson? When you play Kansas City, you say, how do we stop all the weapons that Kansas City has? So look, when I think about the best player that could potentially be moving forward is Lamar Jackson as a developing quarterback who was the MVP last year, 23 years old, very, very young, and can continue to grow in an NFL, in a league that is going to continue to change with the RPOs and the college style with quarterbacks that can move, get out of trouble. You know, as a defender, I just know how hard it is to stop a quarterback like Lamar. And if I had a team, I want to start a team like Lamar, with Lamar.
Now, think about that for a minute.
So to be clear, that had nothing to do with Cam Newton.
No. This is which quarterback would he want to have at the helm of his team the rest of the way? And Rob Ninkovich is taking Lamar Jackson over Patrick Mahomes.
Right. So it had nothing to do with Newton. It was about Jackson and Mahomes. And Mahomes, again, who just got this $500 million contract, who just won the Super Bowl, who I think plays a style that has a much, much, much better chance of lasting 10 or more years.
Oh, his career lifespan seems to be much greater than Lamar Jackson's.
Now, they both won the MVP in their second year in the league. And, you know, Lamar Jackson hasn't had the playoff success yet that, that Patrick Mahomes has had. But to me, it's a no-brainer. It is 100% Patrick Mahomes. And Ninkovich comes at it from the perspective of being a defensive player, having to try to tackle Lamar Jackson and you know, the matchup problems that he causes. But I just think over the course of many seasons, it's just Patrick Mahomes is going to be the guy that's there day in and day out. Lamar Jackson, I'm not so sure. I just don't know. We haven't seen a quarterback who has the ability to rush for 1,000 yards be able to do that over a long period of time. Like even
rushing for 1,000 yards is usually not a good thing for career longevity.
For a single season,
it'd be great for a year.
He was great, and you know he's what a year younger than Patrick Mahomes. I mean they're both super young guys, but yeah, I don't think I'd want Lamar Jackson. I mean Lamar Jackson, you're just kind of to me waiting for it to kind of fall apart. Like there's sort of like all right, how long can we kind of ride this? Whereas Patrick Mahomes, after his contract was signed, we were saying, you know what? I think he could play 12 more years. You know, the way quarterbacks are protected now, the way that, you know, we've seen other guys like Brady and Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers and all these guys play, you know, deep. Even Aaron Rodgers is now sneaky old. Like, there's plenty of guys that have Drew Brees. I think Mahomes could do that way better than Lamar Jackson could.
So Patrick Mahomes is 24 years old. He's been an MVP. He's got a Super Bowl win under his belt. He's now got the richest contract in sports history, all of those things. But if you're an opposing player in the NFL, what he said on the shop should scare the hell out of you.
I started playing quarterback junior year of high school. That's when I really started playing quarterback until now, which is, I think, six is until like halfway through last year. I understood coverages, but how to be able to pick up little tendencies defenses do, stuff that Brady and them have done, they know it and they just do it. I was just playing.
So he didn't know how to read defenses until halfway through last year.
Yeah.
Now, even if that's hyperbole, and probably some of it is.
Right, because he had mentioned that before, I think, too, right? I think he told somebody that, and that kind of came out during the season or towards the end of the year. And you're like, yeah, all right. Now, he's in the perfect system. I mean, that you know, Andy Reid has made lesser quarterbacks look really, really good. So he's in a good spot. But it's also not crazy at all to think that his best football is ahead of him. Like, he already had the 50 touchdown season.
Oh, I think he'll get better.
Of course he will. He's 24. He's only been a full-time starter in the league for 2 years. I think he's definitely going to get better. I am not as convinced that Lamar Jackson gets better. Do you think Lamar Jackson will ever have a year like he did last year?
Well, yes.
You do?
Yes.
Well, of course. I don't think
long-term. Like, I don't think 7 years from now he will.
Right.
But I think he could have another year like he did last year, this year, and maybe the year after that.
Well, Rob Ninkovich put his eggs in the basket of, well, you know, maybe he'll get better at throwing from the pocket. Yeah, maybe. Maybe
yeah,
he won't.
I know that's kind of hard to rely on. Like, I don't see it.
Like, if I'm drafting a guy to win a Super Bowl in the next 3 years, I would rather have Lamar over Mahomes to build my team around, because I think he offers even more than Mahomes does in the short term. Long term, though, Mahomes is the clear answer.
Yeah, Mahomes is 100% the answer. Now, I know he was good his last year, but wasn't Lamar Jackson's Heisman year, his sophomore year, and then he came back for his junior year, and he wasn't quite as dominant. I think he still put up good numbers.
Yeah,
but I don't think he was quite as good. I mean, I'd have to double check that, but I just remember off the top of my head him returning to school after winning the Heisman and didn't have as many of those like 7 touchdown first half games like he did the year before. I could be wrong, but double check that for me.
So his Heisman year was his sophomore year, where he ran for 1,500 yards. He ended up running for 1,600 yards in his junior year, but three less touchdowns.
Okay, so I think he just had more touchdowns his sophomore year.
And then passing, his junior year, he threw for more yards again, but three less touchdowns.
Oh, okay, so he just combined for more touchdowns. So maybe it was more similar than I thought. Okay, fair enough. But I wonder, you know, do league defenses catch up to Lamar Jackson? Right, it was like one of those things where their offense
is different. I think they'll catch up to him quicker than they will to Mahomes.
Yeah.
It seems like running quarterbacks, and again, we've got a history of them, sooner or later, they kind of figure out what to do against that guy.
Yeah.
But he also threw 36 touchdown passes.
He
it's
did.
Not like Lamar only ran.
Michael Vick never had the year passing that Lamar Jackson did. Right? He's never had a season
and
like that.
So he threw 36 touchdown passes, and the Baltimore Ravens threw from the pocket the least out of any football team in the league by a large margin.
Yeah.
So increasing his passing from the pocket isn't necessarily going to hurt him that much.
Yeah, Michael Vick's career high for passing touchdowns in a season was 21. And that was the year, his first year as a starter in Philly. So he wasn't really the runner that he was like he was in Atlanta. In Atlanta, you know, he was exciting to watch, but if you end up looking at the numbers, they were kind of like, eh. You know, like he never had these big quarterback ratings. Also, the league passes more now anyway, and it's just it's more skewed towards quarterbacks and higher completion percentages and everything else. But when he was in Atlanta, he would run. He would, you know, have these incredible highlight reel plays, but never, ever really came close to a season like Lamar Jackson did a year ago.
So we were, this was an intellectual exercise we were playing with. We've done a lot of these since sports disappeared over the last few months.
You kind of have to.
Well, I mean, what else is there to do? We'll have sports to talk about soon, theoretically.
We'll get the Revs game tonight.
You'd have the
Sink
Revs
your teeth
game
into
tonight.
That.
Absolutely. And one of the things we talked about is trying to figure out your top five quarterbacks who will have the best remainder of their career. From like, for instance, Tom Brady doesn't count because in a best-case scenario, we think he's got, what, 2 years left in his career?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like 2 years. Same with Drew Brees. I think you take those guys that you think, yeah, they'll probably be pretty good. Even a guy like Aaron Rodgers.
Same thing.
I'm thinking of guys that might have 7 to 10 more years left in them. Like, that's why, to me, Russell Wilson's kind of on that line. Russell Wilson's 31 years old. He's talked about playing until he's 40. Like, he sort of mentioned that, I think, in passing in you know, certain interviews or whatever. He's seen other quarterbacks do it. He's kind of on that line because there's...
And he's been better the last 2 years than he's been over his career.
Oh, he's been great. Oh, he's been fantastic. And so I think I would still probably take him because the other guys are more unknown and more kind of projections.
Well, the easy one, obviously, for all of us is Patrick Mahomes.
No doubt.
I mean,
no doubt.
He's probably number one on our list. He is absolutely... on the top five. Now, I did have Wilson on my top five.
Yeah, I would too.
And, you know, over the last 2 years, he's averaged 33 touchdown passes to just 6 interceptions, and his passer rating of 108.4 is better than his career passer rating of 101.2. He's getting better.
Yeah, and he's putting up those kind of numbers without a top 10 receiver, without a top 10 back, without a top 10 tight end, without all that stuff, and he's still able to do that. He's also had a winning record every year of his career, which is nuts. I mean, you look at guys like Drew Brees are kind of hot and cold. Like, the team anyway is hot, cold, and like kind of all over the place. Russell Wilson is super consistent. I would still have him on there, but that's the oldest guy that I would consider.
I do have Lamar Jackson on the list, don't you?
I have him
of
lower,
the top
though.
Five.
I have Deshaun Watson. I have Deshaun Watson over Lamar. Again, I just think long term, I have a better chance. Like, if I had to give one of those guys right now, not $500 million, but if you're forced to give one guy, let's say even an 8-year deal, an 8-year extension, I'd feel so much more comfortable giving that to Deshaun Watson. And then I think after that, I honestly considered guys like Kyler Murray and Joe Burrow. Because I'm like,
I have Kyler Murray number two on my
two?
List.
Two?
Number two.
Hmm.
I think he will have a tremendous
career. Have you seen
career.
Enough? Have you seen enough?
I
think you kind of have to project. Yeah.
You
like,
have to
you know?
Project a little bit. The growth he showed in the second half of the season, he started to throw the ball away more instead of taking more sacks. He's in a system it seems like a coach who actually has a clue. The second half of the season, Kingsbury's like, all right, this 4-wide thing isn't working out. He started switching it up a little bit, started running the football more.
He's a better passer than Lamar Jackson.
And he is tremendous passer. I think Kyler Murray is unbelievably talented.
You know, I don't have Lamar in my top five now that I think about it. I would go Mahomes, Wilson, Watson, Murray, Burrow.
I don't have Wilson in my five.
Just because he's too old?
Yeah, I think he's too old.
How about Dak?
Dak
you love
four
Dak
on
Prescott.
My list.
I think that Russell Wilson will be better longer than Lamar Jackson starting right now. He'll have more productive seasons than Lamar Jackson will.
Russell Wilson will?
Yes.
I
know he's 8 years older, but I wouldn't rule him out playing until he's 40, and that means 9 more years, and I don't think Lamar Jackson plays 9 more years, or he won't have 9 more good years.
I think that Russell Wilson's in a system where he's kind of constrained already anyways, so efficiently, yeah, Russell Wilson's always going to be efficient.
His numbers have been great the last couple of years under that same system with basically that same cast around him.
I understand, but as he gets older, they're just going to want to take more and more throws away from him and have him do less and less.
But I don't even know. He may not even...
I think he's going to turn into Drew Brees.
But
where
he might
he's going
outlast
to be...
Pete Carroll. He might outlast the offensive coordinator. Like, he's going to be there, I think, for a long time.
He's just so good.
And this isn't a criticism. It's a query on my part. How can you take a guy who hasn't thrown a pass in anger in the NFL and stick him in your top five? Joe Burrow being the obvious example.
Oh, he's the number one overall pick in the draft, and he looks like one of these.
But literally haven't seen him play a down in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, but who would you want in for the rest of their careers? So if you threw all these guys in a draft, where do you think Burrow would go? If you threw every single player, or let's just do quarterbacks.
Top 10?
Of course he would. Of course, it's all about projection. That number one pick, if they traded that number one pick, what that would have been worth? And Burrow was just so dominant. The guy threw he threw 60 touchdowns.
He literally lit up the SEC.
He did.
Yeah.
Torched the SEC. And, you know, a year ago at this time, I was also pretty high on Kyler Murray. I remember actually having the conversation when he was still a baseball player. I was like, some team should draft him anyway. Draft him in the second round, and maybe he'll feel the need to play football or the hunger towards football. But, yeah, I think you have to project with these guys. Like, you know, Patrick Mahomes got drafted in the first round, sat for a full year, but there was still some buzz around him there. And if you were doing this exercise 2 years ago, I bet Mahomes would have been on people's lists.
Yeah, I'm just always curious. Again, I wasn't arguing with you. We've seen quarterbacks fail when they come to the NFL. I don't think he's going to, by the way.
Right.
Although I have to admit the fact that Cincinnati drafted him gives me pause.
So he's in a horrible spot, and that's why, you know, again, you have to, is it, what conversation are we having? Is it like where they are or just the guy himself sort of in a vacuum?
Yeah, if you're redrafting, you're just taking the guy,
you're just
right?
taking the so. Guy, like the person that you would want on your team, and I would take my chances with Joe Burrow because, right, we haven't seen him in the NFL, but we also have seen a whole bunch of guys that I would say, all right, Burrow's ceiling should be a lot higher than, you know, Kirk Cousins or Ryan Tannehill or even my guy Baker Mayfield or, you know, Garoppolo. Like, we've seen those guys. So I'll take sort of the lottery ticket that is Joe Burrow.
I mean, I like him. I think he's going to be good. But we are really, I mean, we talk about we're projecting for all of these guys for the rest of their career.
Right.
In Burrow's case, we're projecting everything in his career.
Oh, of course. But, I mean, I think he is in a tough spot in Cincinnati. Although, at the same time, you know, and I know it's a new coach, but Andy Dalton became sort of a punchline, but it was really more so because they would lose in the playoffs and they would lose in prime time. But that first part, they would lose in the playoffs. Like, how many other of these quarterbacks that we talk about, they don't get crapped on as much as Andy Dalton, but they didn't even make the playoffs. So it's sort of like a weird, it's like a double-edged sword. It's like when a team loses in the Super Bowl, they're viewed more as a loser. And so Andy Dalton would lose these big games, yet he'd win 10 games in the regular season, or he'd win 11 games in the regular season. And so I know A.J. Green is probably on his last leg, so they're going to have to get players around Joe Burrow, but it wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world if he ended up being a, you know, productive quarterback.
No, I just, because of where he got drafted and their unending record of failure just makes me wonder. They'll be fine. We love the other younger quarterbacks. We think that it really is a young quarterback league now. For the first time in a long time, it feels like, you know, half the quarterbacks in the league that you think have half a shot of succeeding are in the younger demographic. You're kind of weeding the older group out, and in the next couple of years, you're really going to weed them out.
I mean, you look at the last six drafts. You've had Joe Burrow go number one, Kyler Murray go number one, Baker Mayfield go number one. Then you had Myles Garrett in there, and then Jared Goff and Jameis Winston. Now, Winston had to take a backup job, but that's five number one overall picks at the position in the last 6 years. And so, you know, a couple of those guys are going to be pretty good. Like, when we look back on it in 10 years, I don't think all five of those guys are going to be swings and misses. And so, you know, you got to have the right opportunity out of that group right now. Murray and Mayfield clearly have the most talent around them. And I think Murray was rookie of the year.
If Mayfield doesn't do it this year, I'm almost ready to stick him in the bust.
You're going to jump with me, Dale? You're going to get in my bus?
Shime hates him.
None of us love him as much as you do.
You had him ranked 28th, Shine.
Yeah, I know. I think he was ruined by the coaches he was put with. I thought, coming out of college, I think he had a lot of talent.
Yeah.
I think he got kind of screwed.
Baker Mayfield. Pretty good. Yeah, no, he needs to.
He got a raw deal.
There's no doubt. There's a lot of pressure on him this year. A ton of pressure on him. If you're going through quarterbacks, you know, Brady's got pressure. Newton's got pressure.
You have Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry and David Njoku and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
Beckham
was
hurt
last
year. Beckham played through an injury. Wasn't the same guy. He's going to be better this year. They also signed Austin Hooper, so they gave him a ton of money.
With all these weapons.
Oh, they got to be good.
And Kevin Stefanski, who runs the perfect offense for Baker Mayfield. If you don't succeed this year, you're kind of out of luck.
They have to make the playoffs. That has to be a playoff team.
Or at least fighting for a playoff
spot. No, they have to make it.
They have to make it, I think.
You have to. Baker just has to show that he can play.
But I think this is good because last year they were the trendy Super Bowl pick. There were idiots on the radio that thought Baker Mayfield was going to be the MVP.
I wonder who that could have
been. The year after, though.
NFL MVP.
Like, if you
Yeah. Baker Mayfield.
That was me. But if you're looking at storylines going into the year, not just in New England, but across the country, I think it's going to be so dominated by Tom Brady in Tampa, Cam Newton here, and then even to a lesser degree, guys like Phillip Rivers. You know, when's Tua going to start? Like, there's plenty of other storylines that the Browns have kind of been pushed down. They crumbled under the pressure last year.
Well, because now everyone thinks they suck. So now they're like an underdog.
Right. It's perfect for them. They got the Ravens in their division. Everyone's handing the division to the Ravens. There's no, the Browns are going to win the division.
And the Steelers are going to be a playoff team.
Nobody is picking the Browns to win the division. And I feel like that probably will help their chances. In another year of Baker Mayfield, I mean, that can't hurt. You know, you have the good year, sophomore slump. Year three, huge. Huge for them.
Which of the quarterbacks we just discussed has the best chance to fail this year? To just flat out, oh my God, I thought that. Like we thought Baker Mayfield was going to be better.
Yeah.
And then we went, oh no, that didn't work.
Well, Lamar Jackson.
No.
No way.
No, no, I think
fail, I don't see.
I'm not there yet. I think, again, a couple of years. It's more about how long is this going to last. I think he'll still be good this year. If you're counting everybody that we discussed, you know, Jared Goff was on the list just because he was a number one overall pick. The talent is a little bit less than it was around him. He still is a good coach, an offensive-minded coach, but I think you're going to start to see that, oh, yeah, he kind of stinks. I think that could show itself again this year.
I also think, and I think, Keith, you mentioned his name earlier, I think Deshaun Watson might have a bad year. I love Deshaun Watson.
Because they took Hopkins away from him?
Well, they take Hopkins away from him. Bill O'Brien seems to just be making bad decision after bad decision. And granted, he's been good in the regular season. He's been a good coach every year. He gets his team to the playoffs. But just this entire offseason has been a disaster for the Houston Texans.
Yeah. It has not been good. I think he can rise above it, though. And he also has a contract coming soon. Is it next year? He's a free agent. He was the same draft class as Mahomes, so they could re-up him really at any time or not. But I think he'll be good. I think Dak Prescott, there's more pressure on him.
Oh, easily. There's a lot of pressure on him. But I think with a new coach, he gets
COVID
a little more leeway, too.
Could be doing that.
I mean, he didn't contract it, so he's doing all right.
as far as we know.
Zeke did. He gave it to Zeke.
Yeah, now Zeke's streaming Call of Duty on Twitch.
Staying busy. That's good. Good
what
for
else
Zeke?
He got
Staying
to active. Do? I mean,
no,
what
that's
the heck?
It. That's the way to go.
Got to keep those hands and eyes fresh.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be curious to see how the Prescott thing works out. I mean, none of us think that, and the joke was about you're not going to get Patrick Mahomes money. Duh. But he's going to get a lot.
Oh, he'll get a ton. And I assume it'll be in Dallas.
Well, that's assuming Jerry Jones is still alive.
Yeah, where's he been? Is he going to comment on
Has
anything?
Has anybody heard anything from Jerry Jones literally since the draft?
I know Don Tardy Remember when he wants him to speak up.
When he was, you know, on the yacht, doing the draft from the yacht. It was real impressive. Yeah.
Real nice yacht, by the way.
Now, he's got his radio show that he does during the season, but that obviously...
I think off-season he must not...
Must not be on.
I haven't heard a word. If they ask a question he doesn't like, he hangs up on them, though.
That's correct. That is also
and then just blames it on his phone.
But you remember, they played hardball with Ezekiel Elliott and then eventually signed him to a ton of money. So I feel like they're going to do the same thing.
Jerry normally caves to the players, A, he likes, and B, that are homegrown.
Yeah, I think they're going to end up giving him a ton of money. It'll be short of Mahomes, but it'll be the second biggest contract ever.
He'll get like $35 to $38 million a year.
Yep.
Would be my guess.
For like 8 years or whatever, not 12. He's not going to get that.
I would expect more like a 4 or 5 year deal.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, that was one of the reports out there early on in the process was that Dak Prescott himself wanted a shorter contract.
The Cowboys have this thing where they run like a 5 year deal, but really it's only a 3 year contract because those last 2 years are non-guaranteed money and they can cut you.
And I think also at that point too, you know, 3 more years, he won't even be 30 yet. And then if he opts out, hits the market again and then has one more chance at like a bigger, and the salary cap I assume is going to go up. So that could happen.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The National Hockey League is scheduled to return. Games that matter beginning on August 1st. They may play a couple of preseason exhibition games before that. But we'll talk to Andrew Raycroft about the return to play in the NHL. Some of the ideas out there that season ticket holders got an advance notice of. from Nesson and the Bruins. We'll talk about that as well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Dale and Keith.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
Hey, let's go.
There's going to be a lot of traffic on the way to the game.
Don't worry. I got Bruins plate. People get out of our way.
Au revoir. Have a good game.
Great plates. I want them too. Are you even old enough to drive?
So on our call screener, Scheim always does a great job putting the name of the caller. And on line 8, all it says is Razor Beam. That's all we need.
The bar is on the floor.
That's all we have to do. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is Razor Beam, Andrew Raycroft. Andrew's brought to you by Star Market, the official supermarket of the Boston Bruins. Hello, Andrew.
Morning, guys.
How are you?
I'm great. How is everyone doing?
Good.
I'm starting to feel, moment by moment, more confident that we're going to see hockey games that matter. What say you?
That's exactly what I say, and that's why I'm great. Yeah, it's exciting. It feels real now. It was nice to see soccer on TV last night, and if they're pulling that off in Orlando, I think we'll have a good vote here the next couple days and be at it in a couple weeks.
Now, when you were a player, how long in the off season would you be away from the ice and not, you know, face any shots or just get away from it? How long would that usually be? And then when you did come back, how long did it take until you felt ready to go for a real game?
Quite a bit of time, especially, you know, 20, 24 years ago when first starting out, guys, you know, there was nowhere to skate even until August. So if you were done in April, it was 2 or 3 months. If you're done in June, kind of similar. So I would get ramped up beginning of August on the ice, which is about a month and 5 weeks before training camp. And then it really only takes 2 or 3 weeks to really get the timing back and really feel good, especially, you know, considering having the whole summer off. I think it'll be much quicker for these guys to pick it up. It's been a few weeks, but they were right in the middle of a season. So for goalie wise, I think they can get a lot of work done the last couple weeks, and then the next 2 weeks they'll be ready to go.
I've said on a couple of occasions since all of this happened that I think the NHL has the best opportunity to perhaps finish their season. You know, the Major League Baseball and NFL players are going home at the end of the day, which makes me worried about positive tests. The NBA is taking their entire league to Orlando, which is like the hot spot in the country right now. What do you think about the NHL taking their teams to Toronto and Edmonton?
Well, that's the advantage they have. There's no question. You just simply looking at the numbers, there's been 1,100 cases in Edmonton in 5 months. And then in Toronto, I looked it up today, there's 120 cases in the entire province that are requiring hospitalization. So I know I have a lot of friends in Toronto. My parents are in, you know, nearby. They have no cases in a town of 50,000 that my parents are. And they're paying the price. I haven't seen my parents for 7 months, and they're still in fairly decent lockdown mode. So I think that's the advantage the NHL has to be able to go to Canada and go in the bubble there. I think it's, you know, I'm not naive to think that guys aren't going to be out or, you know, but it's going to be difficult for them to penetrate the bubble up there. And it's just a numbers game at this point, I think.
Yeah, that was my next question, was how likely can you get everybody to buy in? And then especially the teams that are there even longer. So maybe the first week when you're like, hey, guys, hotel or the rink, and that's kind of it, you know, week, 2 weeks. Okay. But after that, how likely is it to get an entire roster to listen and play by the rules?
I don't think it's as hard as we assume. I think there's a lot of accountability with each team. You look at certainly the best teams. You look at, you know, you take the Bruins, which we're going to talk about. It. Their accountability is as good as anyone in pro sports. Zdeno Chara is not going to the nightclub in Toronto in the next few weeks. I can promise you that.
Right.
And I think everyone else is going to follow in behind that. I also think because they're in Canada, it gives them a little bit of opportunity to get out still. I know in Edmonton, they're shutting down a golf course for the guys. So it's not necessarily they have to be in the hotel room or in the rink. They're going to have options being up there that don't put them in risk of getting coronavirus. And on top of that, I think the big thing that I look at is that 16 of these 24 teams are going to be out of that bubble within 4 weeks. And I think that's a big difference. You even look at NBA, they're in the bubble, but they're playing 8 regular season games before they get to playoffs. So they're going to be required to be there a little bit longer. And when you look at the fact that you're going to have those 16 teams, which turns out to be over 300 guys out of there within a few weeks, I think that reduces the risk as well.
Have you thought about what effect there's going to be on the players to play and I'm just using this as an example, a Stanley Cup final game in front of an empty arena with nothing, no emotion from the fans, nothing to fall back on?
I can't wrap my head around that. That's the biggest question. That's the biggest question mark for me, is how that's going to feel as a player, how guys are going to be able to react, and how I think it's going to be interesting to see how quickly and what teams can get themselves up to the speed, the intensity they need to be without having the music, without having the 20,000 people in the stands. And do they, you know, is it going to be difficult for guys? I got to believe it's going to be. But at the same time, I think if guys recognize what's at stake, they'll get into these games and should feel the intensity pretty soon. But it's the biggest question mark I have, what that's going to feel like for the guys.
Because it is so unprecedented what they're going to be doing, like, you know, no fans, but also just all the neutral site games and everything. Do you look at, say, in the Eastern Conference, for example, before there was the stop and play, it felt like Bruins, Lightning, Capitals, you know, maybe make an argument for somebody else, but they felt like the contenders to come out of the East. Do you view it the same, or because of this stoppage in play and then this odd restart, like, does that open the door for other teams to make a run?
I think it opens the door, kicks the door open for everybody else. I'm not surprised. You know, I'm not going to be surprised if you see 12 versus 12 seeds in the Stanley Cup Finals. I think we just kind of throw all of those seedings out the window, and it's a complete restart. And like, all, you know, I mean, we know it in hockey playoffs anyways, that if a goalie gets hot, you know, you can go on a run. But I think that's even more so in this kind of a situation without fans. You throw the seeds right out the window.
You talked about, you know, Zdeno Chara is probably not going to be out at a bar any place in Toronto, you know, for the next couple of months, or Patrice Bergeron or others. What's it going to be like within a team if somebody does go over the wall? And we saw this happen with the women's soccer team in Orlando. They do go over the wall and they come back in and infect an entire locker room. What's that going to be like for a team?
It's going to be very difficult for that individual player or those individual players to look not only the guys on their team, but the entire league in the eye and the entire union. They're giving, you know, guys, there's a lot of people making sacrifices at this point to make this happen. And you don't want to be that guy, you know, the Patriots, you don't want to be that guy. And I think that's what's going to allow, you know, I think that's what's going to make it work out and turn out well, because guys are going to feel that pressure to not be that guy. And you go to that word accountability, and you look at the teams that have won Stanley Cups in the last 10 years, and the captains of Jonathan Toews and Sidney Crosby and Zdeno Chara, these guys, there's a lot of accountability in hockey, and the guys that understand that that's what it takes to win will do even better in this kind of a situation. I just don't see guys going out and risking the entire league going under and having their name being the one dragged through the mud for it.
We've been asking everybody, you know, associated with the NHL or the NBA, are you going to look at this champion as, you know, a real champion in line with all of the others? Or is it always going to be, yeah, that was a really strange year, strange circumstances. Like, obviously, a lot of challenges and good for that team for winning, but it doesn't really carry the same weight as, you know, an 82-game season with no, you know, 3 or 4 month layoff.
I believe if your team doesn't win or your name isn't on the cup, you'll always fall back on that. But I think as a player, I think, well, you know, if I get a ring and I get my name on the cup, and I think over time we'll forget about it a little bit, and you can always say you're a Stanley Cup winner, and not everyone asks what year you won it or what the circumstances were. We've seen it with a lockout in 2013. Most of the time I forget that the Bruins were in the finals, but it was only a 48 game season. So I think over time, this is definitely going to be different, and we can look at it, you know, that way, or we can look at it, this is going to be the most difficult one to win. Cause we just talked mm-hmm. about 12 seeds winning and 12 seeds having a chance. It is going to be very difficult to be in a hotel for 3 months and pull this out. So it's going to be odd. The celebration's going to be odd. There's going to be no parade at the end. You know, those kinds of things that go along with winning the cup that are the perks, I think that's going to be different. But at the end of the day, for these guys, for these athletes, they're going to change their career. You change your career if you win a Stanley Cup. If you become a Stanley Cup champion, you get an extra few contracts. You get an extra few bucks at the end of the day. So I think that is the goal and the carrot at the end of this that is dangling. And I believe that it'll be enough for guys to legitimize this.
The SB Nation website, Stanley Cup of Chowder, has details of a letter that was sent to Bruins season ticket holders, an email, I should say, to Bruins season ticket holders, asking them to submit videos of chanting and cheering and even reacting to a bad call, keep it clean, all of that stuff. And they go out of their way to say that these videos could be used on a variety of platforms, including in arena, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, television. It sounds as though what teams in the NHL are trying to do is involve the fans, even though they can't be there.
There's an opportunity for the league to do that. And I've been told that there's certain apps that they might be able to, you'll be able to plug in crowd noise as the game's going. So you're sitting on the couch and your team scores, you can cheer or you can boo and things like that. So I think they want to engage the fans as much as possible. Fortunately, the technology that we have nowadays allows them to do that. So I don't want to hear nothing. I like the crowd noise. I watch the soccer games. I like the crowd noise, especially on TV, even though you know it's not real, even though you know it's fake. I think I'm accustomed to that and expect that. I don't want to hear the hockey completely blank and hear the skates in the ice. I'd rather hear some crowd noise. So I think if they can, the NHL can do a great job engaging fans right now. Listen, we just talked about they might be the only team, the only show on TV here in the next couple months. And if they can pull that off and engage fans and build the brand of the NHL, even better.
I can tell you that Nesson has already, they have done extensive planning for these telecasts. And I won't go into all of the details because they've still got to release some of the things that they're going to do. It will look a little different for fans when we are on pregame and intermission and postgame because we'll be in studio in Watertown. We will not be, you know, in an arena anywhere. And it'll be that way for every single game. It'll look different, but I'm hoping it doesn't feel different.
No, we'll get used to it. You know, we've adapted. We've proven as a society how much we can adapt here in the last 4 months. I mean, who would have thought we're at where we're at right now? But I think sports is going along with that. Again, I watch the English Premier League every weekend or the Bundesliga, and it feels normal now to me. And it's been a couple months. So again, the first couple of times everyone watches it, we're going to say, and we're going to get better at it, right? That, like Nesson's going to. Everybody's going to figure out what works and what doesn't really quickly. And I think by the week one, week two, once that first round of the playoffs start, it's going to feel normal, and we're going to be more than happy to embrace the new change.
I will see you in person soon, I think.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. I'm excited.
Thanks, pal. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Andrew.
Andrew Raycroft, former Bruins goaltender, former Toronto Maple Leafs goaltender, and my Nesson colleague. The amount of work that Nesson has had to put in to prepare not only for the Bruins' slate of games that kick off around the 1st of August, but the Red Sox as well. And they're going to have all this going on at the same time. They've had to do all these different plans for the different sports. It has been a major undertaking. And I give them credit because they've literally been working on this thing for a couple of months now.
Yeah, and I think everybody's just so hungry for sports that it's not going to sound the exact same. It's not going to look the exact same, but you're going to embrace it. You're going to say, well, this is certainly better than watching reruns of whatever the hell show I was watching before. So whatever it looks like, people are going to be on board.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line 37937. Coming up at 12:45, the Dale and Keith Movie Club nominations. This is the next to last one of these things, I think.
The penultimate.
We're closing in on wrapping this thing up because we're going to have sports to watch soon.
That's right.
Actually, you got sports to watch tonight. Brush up on your Spanish. The Revs game's on Univision. You can watch it there if you want. I'll be watching. What else have I got to do? It's Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Ready for more?
Dale and Keith on WEEI.
You know, I'm not going to be surprised if you see 12 versus 12 seed in the Stanley Cup finals. I think we just kind of throw all of those seedings out the window, and it's a complete restart. And, like, I mean, we know in hockey playoffs anyways that if a goalie gets hot, you know, you can go on a run. But I think that's even more so in this kind of a situation without fans. I think you throw the seeds right out the window.
Andrew Raycroft, who joined us a little while ago, he's right. It is actually entirely possible this year, maybe more than any other year, that it could get wacky. First of all, you've got 24 teams in the playoffs. That's why he said you could literally have a 12 against a 12. And it's entirely possible it could happen this year.
Yeah, and that's why I don't think it's like a legit champ, you know, whether it's the NHL or the NBA.
I actually think it's going to be harder to win it this year than normal.
That's what the point. If it's a 12 seed versus a 12 seed, first of all, 12 teams don't even normally make the playoffs.
Right.
So right away you're talking about, and I'm not saying it's not worth doing. I'm not saying it's not going to be an impressive feat, but it's almost like, you know, in soccer, for example, where they have these random like cups, right? Like they sort of jump into a tournament and they play a cup. Doesn't necessarily mean it's the best team. A team sort of got hot, and this is what happens. Like they basically had an off season, and I know they're still going to play the tournament because that's sort of one argument I've heard is, well, they're still playing a tournament. And it's going to be best of seven series and all that stuff. True, but you wouldn't do that at the beginning of the season, and if you did, that doesn't necessarily mean it is the best team. So it's an impressive feat, and there's going to be challenges that they face. But the St. Louis Blues Cup from last year versus whoever wins it this year, I don't equate the two. I think it's two completely different playing fields.
I know Wiggy has been of the opinion that, you know, you're going to get guys, you know, man has his needs, and they're going to go over the wall. They're going to leave the bubble in Orlando. They're going to leave the secured sites in Toronto and Edmonton. They got to go out. They got to do what they got to do. Andrew said the internal pressure on being that guy, at least in the National Hockey League, he thinks is going to be too overwhelming.
It could be, and I think he also added with the contending teams, which I would agree with. If your team is got their eyes on winning the cup and you're playing well, maybe you're up 2-0 or 3-0 in a series, probably less likely that you're going to say, you know what, screw it, I'm going to go out tonight. I think if you are now down 0-2 or down 0-3, or your team is, you know, on its way out in some way, yeah, it's a little bit more. Or maybe you don't have a Zdeno Chara on your team. You know, you don't have a guy who kind of runs the locker room to that degree.
And they've got more than just him too. They've got a handful of those guys.
Right, that's the thing. And not every team has that kind of structure. Also, I wonder if the fact that Edmonton and Toronto are relatively safe and don't have as many cases as, say, in Orlando does, I wonder if that gives them, like, a false sense of security, too, where they're like, yeah, you know what? Even if I do go out, nobody has it here, so I'll be fine.
Yeah, what they've also done, and I give them credit for this, is they've gone out of their way. Like, in Edmonton, for instance, they set aside an entire golf course
yeah.
just for the National Hockey League. They said, when you've got a day off, you want to go golf, this place is just for people in the bubble. No one else can go near it. No one else can play it. This is just for you guys. It's kind of smart the way they've tried to at least understand that, you know, sitting in your hotel room all day, every day, except when you're at the rink, may be a little too much.
Yeah, you're kind of asking for guys to break the rules at that point if you're not giving them anything else to do. I think the NBA is the same way. I think they have a couple of golf courses maybe down in that area that are going to be, you know, used just by them. So that helps, but I don't know. It's a lot of players who are certainly used to doing things a certain way. And as time goes by, I think it's going to be more and more more difficult to sort of adhere to all the rules.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number if you'd like to join us. The Cam Newton hype train has pulled out of the station. It is rumbling through New England, and we now know the contract stipulations for Newton as well. He is doing this to try to prove a point, I think. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.